This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. A very happy, beautiful Thursday to you. Well, we've got a great show planned for you today. I sort of say that every day, but we plan great shows every day, don't we?
Yes, we do.
It'd be kind of sad if I showed up and said, we've got a terrible show planned for you today.
That's never going to happen.
Baby. But this one feels, they're all important for different reasons, but this one's important because we are praying. We just, Grace, Tim, and I just finished praying that you would be mobilized after today's show, that you would be encouraged, that you would be stirred up, that your faith would be stirred up in such a way where you start to ask yourself, am I living with a constant expectancy that God's going to do something great in my life, in me, and through me? Do I really believe that I'm on this earth for such a time as this? That's what today's show is all about. A couple weeks ago, I interviewed megachurch pastor, best-selling author, Stephen Furtick, and I got about a half hour with him. He's a busy guy, and we've not aired that interview yet, so we're going to air part of it first half of the hour here and part of it second half of the hour. So the other parts, you and I are going to talk, and I want to hear from you. In fact, I stopped at Lifeway Christian Center or Christian Bookstore today with my own very own money allowance. It's kind of sad, isn't it, Tim? Anyway, I bought three different journals, beautiful journals. They have scripture on each page. And because one of the things I think it's really important is to write down the vision. If God gives you something, write it down. It kind of, you're putting it out there. Tell someone you trust and respect, but write it down. And we're going to kind of engage in that a little bit. But so the first three that get on the line today, the first three that call, I'm going to give you one of these journals that I bought. And I actually would love to write a little personal note to you. So if you want that, tell Grace, yeah, I want that personal note from Susie so I can write it with your name and just a little encouragement for you to write down. In Scripture even says, write the vision down, write it down. And so here's my question. And I asked it on Facebook. What audacious and seemingly impossible thing would you love to do for God? Would you love for God to accomplish through you? Let me say that again. What audacious and seemingly impossible thing would you love for God to accomplish through you? On your mark, get set, go. Give me a call, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Maybe you're living it out right now. Maybe you've already taken that big step of faith and you're like, I've got a dream in my heart. I'm taking these baby steps. I especially would love to hear from you. Or maybe you've never dared admit it. Man, I'd love to hear from you as well. Maybe you're feeling like, you know, I want to open up a shelter for battered women. I want to start a Bible study. I want to write a book. What audacious thing do you feel that you have a dream in your heart? You got to admit it. You got to speak it out. And if you're one of the first three to call, you get a beautiful journal. And I want to write a special note to you, 877-933-2484. And as we wait for these calls, I see them coming in. You've heard me talk about this, but I really want to see if you can come. October 6th in Albert Lea, when there's a Beyond Belief Conference. I'm keynoting that event. I'll be speaking twice. First on Uncommon Woman, second on what my new book is about. It's called Your Beautiful Purpose. And that's October 6th. It's just a one-day conference, 9 to 2:30 at Crossroads Church in Albert Lea. And you can find out more information on my Facebook page, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. One other thing I want to tell you is I see Grace processing all those calls. Yay. Yay. I got people who've got dreams in their hearts. It just fires me right up. Every Wednesday, I write a devotional blog. And yesterday's post is titled Believe the Best. And this post is for the person. And I was the poster child for this person. Everything I write about, I've already been through. So it's not anything I read about and thought, that's a good idea to tell someone about. It's all, you know, I'm like hamburger in a meat grinder. Everything I write about, I have to go through in a big way because I've had so much to learn over the years. But this one is about when you tend to read between the lines, if people look at you a certain way or they say something, or maybe you're close to a coworker and suddenly they start to distance themselves, or, you know, you start to kind of sense a distrust from somebody and you're so tempted to kind of create come to a conclusion that you don't even know exists. And so this blog is for you, how to believe the best, how not to read between the lines, how to walk in faith and not let that enemy get the best of you with your insecurities. So What do you think of that, Tim?
I think that sounds like a very good idea. It sounds like a great blog.
Yeah,
I'll have to go
thank
and read
you.
It myself.
Yeah, not that you struggle with reading between the lines, but for a friend.
Never, never.
You're
going to
read my
right.
blog and share it with a friend. Okay, so we have to get to this clip in just a moment. So can I take Dwayne from Madison and the other ones? Since you called, we'll figure this out one way or the other. Dwayne is calling from Madison. Dwayne, welcome to the show.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, how you doing?
All right. I got it. You know, I was just, you know, I was telling Grace, you know, I just became a full pastor, me and my church. And my vision that God gave me a word, you know, I'm preaching about the guy at the pool.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a message in there that, you know, we heard a lot of preaching about that pool, but it's a message that God's given me. And so what I'm doing is I'm trying to get everybody that been, you know, father bound, you know, have alcohol, cigarettes, marijuana, cocaine, heroin, gang member, whatever. I'm trying to get, you know, that word out to us because that's a word in the house.
Mm.
Or, you know, because there's a season. Everyone has a season. And this is a season that God is trying to set folks free.
Amen.
Folks can be delivered. Folks can be, they can be delivered.
Yeah.
They don't have to wait for no one to put them in the pool. Or they don't have to wait for no one to put hands on them. God is trying to do some miraculous thing right now. So that's what I want you guys to do. Pray for me. As that message goes Sunday and that folks will get delivered.
Dwayne, if I wasn't given a message at a different church on Sunday, I would drive to Madison to hear you preach. I can already tell you're going to have some fire in your belly. God, I just pray that you give Dwayne the desire of his heart. I pray people are healed and delivered left and right, Lord. This is the day of freedom, and it's for freedom that you've set us free. So anoint this man, speak mightily through him, and surprise him in many great ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Dwayne, the journal's kind of pretty. Do you still want it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. God bless you. Thank you for your call. We'll make sure you get one. I think we can. Can we grab Lisa real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll have to do this real quick. Lisa from Madison. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie.
Hey.
I'll try to do this real quick. I'm a big dreamer for my own self, but God has really laid it on my heart. I have three traumatized stepchildren that just came to Christ, or I've been trying to help them come to Christ. And so my dream that I know God wants for me is to teach them the ways of God and to bring them forward in their lives from their trauma toward God's healing and to teach them that.
You are a modern-day hero, and God, may you give her the desires of her heart and surprise her. Give her vision for these kids, I pray, in Jesus' name. Lisa, you're going to get a journal as well, and you are so brave and wonderful. Thank you. That's such an inspiring testimony. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bless you. So we've got one journal left. We've got three copies of Stephen Furtick's book, Greater. And we're going to hear this clip from Stephen. And on the other side of the break, we're going to open it up for more calls. So if you didn't get in, I want you to call back so we can talk about it. This is the first part of my interview with Stephen Furtick, Greater. Dream bigger, start smaller. Ignite God's vision for your life. Buckle up. You're going to love this. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. We sure appreciate your time.
Thank you, Susie. It's great to be here.
Well, we like to start out all of our interviews talking scripture. We just love the Word of God and live the promise. I'm wondering if you have a life verse or if there's a particular verse the Lord's been speaking to you about these days.
Yeah, definitely. Ephesians 3:20 is my verse that I pray for and hold to and hope my life will demonstrate, you know, that now unto him who's able to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine, according to his power that works mightily in us. To him be the glory. You know, and it goes on to talk about through Christ Jesus in the church now and forever. But I like a lot how God tells me that not only is he going to do more than I can ask or imagine, but reminds me of what it's for his glory and his purpose. And then, of course, there's, you know, you didn't ask me for two, but John 14:12 is the one that kind of rocked my world a while back. Heard it before. I knew it was in the Bible, but just kind of sliced me in a fresh way when Jesus said, anyone believes in me will do greater things than these, meaning the things he had done, because I go to the Father and, you know, challenge me to look at my life. And both of those verses together just kind of raise my level of thinking and consciousness of, God, am I moving forward toward you in faith, like you intend me to.
Amen. You know, Stephen, that Ephesians 3:20 is my verse as well, and I've camped on that year after year after year. And something that just sticks out to me is, you know, God wants to, he is able, but it's according to his work within us. So to me, it's like to the degree that we give him access to our soul, to our life, to our priorities, will he do great things? Don't you think? Isn't that an amazing thought?
Yeah, and that's encouraging too, because it's not according to our ability.
Right.
It's not according to our past. It's not according to our upbringing. It's according to His power. So not only is it determined by the access we give Him, but it's also not limited by what we have inside of us. And that's been the story of my life. You know, I grew up in a really small town and never imagined that I'd get to minister to people like I do today. And it's Ephesians 3:20, you know, and it's not just for preachers or people on the radio. It's for every believer. That's what encourages me about it.
Yeah. You know, when you think of the passage, you know, he chooses the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And I'm like, I'm the poster girl for the not.
Oh, wow.
Praise God. You know, I mean, it's amazing what He will do with a heart of faith. And yet so many live in complacency and apathy in the church. When you think, Scripture says faith pleases Him. I mean, your audacious faith, your audacious request, I know makes God's heart beat out of His chest. So why is it that so many live in apathy and even fear and self-preservation in the church today?
Well, we know ourselves, and we're programmed with a message that there's two extremes to this message. One is, you're great, go be great. You don't need to consult God. And so you launch out and you try to be great, and you realize, whether you ever admit it or not, I'm not great. I have these addictions that I can't get under control. I'm not just talking about heroin or crack, you know, be shopping, eating, anger. And so the world's telling you, you're great, climb the mountain, soar like an eagle, and you're pretending like you are, but in your heart, you know that you're anything but great. Then, you know, you settle into good enough. Okay, well, you know, the life that I have, it's kind of, I would say, baseline living, and I don't think this is all that God intends for me, but I don't know where to start. So now I'm stuck. I'm frustrated. If I try to be great the world's way, then I know that that's short-lived at best. It never really satisfies. And then I'm in this complacency, which is kind of comfortable. It's kind of dull, but it's what I know. It's what I have, and I have so much going on. I've got credit card balances that are unpaid, and I got to go work to pay them off, and I got dishes in the sink and kids to pick up or business to run or whatever. So here I am stuck in. And then, you know, we do believe. I think most believers believe that stuff. If we say Ephesians 3:20 or John 14:12, and God can do greater things, most people say amen to that, but then they crop themselves out of the picture.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the enemy can't get you into a place of just good enough by trying to frustrate you, he'll intimidate you with condemnation, and he'll say, yeah, God can do greater things, but not through you. Look at you. Look at the way you just responded. Look at how you spent your time today. Look at how your mind wandered when you tried to read your Bible. And so the enemy will keep us trapped in that life any way he can. He doesn't really care. I don't imagine he cares very much what it takes to get us there. If he can get us trapped in our own fake external greatness that has nothing to do with God and obedience, that's fine. If he can get us into mediocrity and complacency through intimidating us, through condemnation, either way, he keeps us out of participating in God's plan for our lives. And it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way for one more day for anybody listening.
Amen. And that's really why the sacrifice and the victory of Christ is so radical. I remember when I was a new believer, I was just so painfully insecure because of some of the things that happened to me at the hands of some teenage boys when I was a young girl. I had a canyon of insecurity. I had all kinds of ability, athletic ability, and different things. But really, deep inside was that canyon of insecurity. So even as a believer, I understood I needed a Savior because I was the worst of sinners, but to understand this unconditional love, and people would say, you're kind, you're sweet, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it was when the Holy Spirit said, actually, on your worst day, you're actually worse than that. But God is good, and He knew it full well going into it. It's almost like we have to come to grips with the depths of our need before we can appreciate the riches of His love, don't we?
Totally. And there's no way of denying this, that, you know, in John 3:30, John the Baptist said, He must become greater and I must become less. And that's the paradox of God's way. And the book that I just released, it tries to plunge people into that paradox of, I know you're not good, but in spite of all the parts of you that are anything but good, God is holding open the door to a life that is greater. Jesus said in John 14:12, anyone who believes in me will do greater things because I go to the Father. It's based on him. It's based on his power, like we were saying in Ephesians 3:20. And the more we point people to that, the more we realize that it's often in our weakest moments that God's grace shines through in the most brilliant and greatest ways. But we have to remember that through our time with God, through having the right people in our lives, because that is not the message that we're bombarded with. The message of the world is do great things and you'll be great. But it's always grasping and it's always out there somewhere. But God says, greatness is in you right now, and greatness is Jesus. Greatness is the Spirit of God, power of God. It's not out there somewhere. It's in you right now. And when you realize that, the devil has his worst panic attack, because you're about to enter into greater things. Not necessarily that everything in your life is going to change overnight, or that you're going to now all of a sudden go to another orbit where you don't deal with the condemnation or the frustration or the temptation, but you're going to be pointed in the direction of obedience to God, and now you're on your way to greater things.
Indeed. Hey, if you just tuned in today, really glad you joined us. I'm talking to Stephen Furtick. He's an author and a pastor. He's just released a new book titled Greater, Dream Bigger, Start Smaller, Ignite God's Vision for Your Life. And you maybe just heard him start to make the distinction between greatness and greater, and maybe even say that a little bit more, Stephen, because there is just this thrust in the world of, you know, be all you can be, and it really has sort of bled into Christianity, where we still do strive and don't know that he's God, because we think so much more is up to us than up to him. So make that distinction between greater and greatness.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, if you miss that, then you kind of take off down the same path that millions have known before. I read the books, I tried the plan, and yet I'm still the same. And that's where the power of God's Spirit to make us more like Christ and to help us see that in my failures, God is doing a greater thing. I had a situation the other day that I felt like, you know, here I am, I'm a pastor, I'm, you know, succeeding in so many ways, but in this one relationship in my life, I cannot seem to get any victory. And it's as if God said to me in that moment, you're becoming greater even as you're losing this battle. All battles that end in what you perceive to be a loss are not necessarily a lost opportunity. And that's where the idea of, you know, wasted faith and the idea that God is never wasting my faith has become so important to me. I know what it feels like to trust God and launch out and, you know, God, I'm going to trust you for greater things. And the person still dies that I was praying for to be healed, or the relationship gets more distant and the person kind of doesn't seem to reconcile. And whatever you're praying about doesn't happen. And you can feel frustrated in those times. Like, well, then what's the point? I'm not doing that again. I'm giving up on greatness. Now I'm back to good enough. Now I'm back to just barely getting by. And I don't mean that people who are great for God are the ones who go on to be, you know, award-winning authors or Grammy award-winning singers. We have the wrong idea of greatness. You know, there's a single mom who's listening to me right now, and you feel like there's nothing great about what you do day in and day out. Yet there's a greatness to the investment that you're making that you may never see in this life. There's so much about greater in this way of thinking about God's will and God's purpose in my life. It doesn't have to do with what you're doing. So it doesn't necessarily mean, hey, I need to quit my job and play in the NBA like I always dreamed I could. That would make me great. Or oftentimes people will go, well, I want to go into full-time ministry. And they don't realize that the place where they were was a full-time ministry. If they would have approached it with a greater passion for God, a greater awareness of his presence. And that's what I try to walk people through in the book is, well, how do I know whether God's calling me to stay put or to step out? And he calls us to do both in different seasons. But that's why it's a relationship, it's an experience, it's a journey, and it's marked by surrender and obedience and trust, not always by success and logic. Sometimes it's marked by those things. Sometimes it's not. But it's always marked by an increased awareness of God's presence and his power and an increased love for him in our hearts. That's what greater is all about. That's what God's calling us to.
And that's where his kingdom comes, you know, in our midst. And I love the wisdom that you shared, that even in our losses, there's a gain when Christ is in it. And we do look so much. You know what it is? We measure so much on productivity and accomplishment that we mix up what true greatness is in Christ. And so that's a really profound piece of wisdom to share. Stephen, you have a chapter on wasted faith. I want you to unpack what that means and what you mean there.
Well, the whole book journeys through the life of Elisha. And I wrote about Elisha because I was preaching about him in our church, and I started looking for books about Elisha, and I realized, and this guy doesn't get enough airtime. This guy's awesome. He did twice the miracles of Elijah, and a lot of people know about Elijah. I even named my firstborn son, who's 7 years old, I named him Elijah. But Elisha is this incredibly dynamic character who had an unlikely beginning. He's plowing out in a farm field, 12th in line, plowing with a pair of oxen, and God comes up and leads him into a life that's greater, and he sets out on this road of obscurity at first and then into great miracles. And one of the most touching, if not the most touching miracles that I've read about in the life of Elisha is he had the opportunity to prophesy to a woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. He told her that she was going to have a son, and she did. And then the son died at some point in the course of raising that child. The son died one day, and the story is beautiful. I mean, everybody should read this, whether you read the book or not. It's an incredible story in 2 Kings chapter 4. And Elisha is used by God to raise this little boy to the dead. Now, I use the story to talk about dead things in our lives, and whether it's a dead dream, a dead hope, a dead ambition, and that God is, here's the analogy I use, I don't know if this will relate to people, God is always saving and using and measuring out our faith through a trust fund. And of course, in human terms, a trust fund is, you know, you put some money aside for somebody, and when they're a certain age, they can get to it with certain restrictions. And the trustee, the one who oversees the trust fund, decides when that money gets measured out, at what age, under what circumstances and stipulations. And one day it hit me, you know, just like this Shunammite woman who didn't have a son, then did have a son, then didn't have a son, then did have another son. And the ups and downs of our lives can feel, you know, like, well, that was pointless. At one point in the story, the Shunammite woman says to Elisha, she says, why did you even get my hopes up? I didn't ask you for this son. And now he's dead, and, you know, we can feel like that. And in our lives, sometimes I'm dealing with challenges of ministry, and I'm going, God, I didn't ask you for all of this. I was just trying to serve you, and I didn't ask for this critic, this person to say these things about me. And then there are even more graphic times than that. I'm dealing currently with the health of my father deteriorating. He has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and they've given him a very short time to live, and so in between preaching and trying to minister to people, I'm watching my dad die. Mm. And, you know, I led my dad to Christ when I was 18 years old. Mm. I knelt down at an altar with him, led him to the Lord. And now I'm watching so many parts of his physical body and his mind fall apart. Mm. And it can kind of feel like, what's the point? I prayed for my dad, and we've anointed him and prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And nothing seems to change. But God has a trust fund that I have to believe that, you know, I don't mean to make too much of the analogy, but God is overseeing every prayer that I've prayed. And we say in the book that nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted in the economy of faith. So while I'm not getting the result that I want right now, and while I don't understand and may never understand, I have to believe that God is too wise to make a mistake. He's too loving to disregard my heart. And while somebody may not be able to hear that because you're going through pain right now, and I know how books like this can come across when you're hurting, yet it's easy for you to say God has a greater plan for my life. You're a preacher, and you don't know what I'm going through, and the fact is, I may not understand all the dynamics of your situation, But the dynamics of God revolve around the fact that he's faithful.
Amen.
And when you realize that your faith is never wasted, that your prayer, your obedience, God may not answer my prayers every time the way I want him to, but he never wastes my faith. And so I like to think about how, you know, perhaps Susie, there's something that I prayed about and God didn't do it, but maybe he did something with the faith that I put into that prayer that I never even thought to pray for. So it's possible that, you know, I'm praying, God, would you do this and would you do that? And then he doesn't. And I go, well, that was for nothing. Maybe not. Maybe God is so wise that he says, I see your faith. I'm not going to answer that prayer the way you want me to this time. Who knows what the reasons are? I'm not going to try to answer all those questions. But I trust that he's blessing my life in ways that I don't deserve. And when you get out of that system of kind of credits and debits, and every time I pray, there's not a response. I think it was in vain. No, nothing is wasted. God's either using it to build a miracle inside of me or produce a miracle that I can see. There's always something greater he's doing. And I really try to help the reader understand that there are no easy answers to this. But if you can go into that place of bold belief, you can move forward even through some of the most disappointing times of your life.
Wow, I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. More with Stephen Furtick in just a moment. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You just heard, if you just tuned in, actually you didn't hear anything, but we aired a first part of my interview with Stephen Furtick. He's a megachurch pastor, best-selling author. He's written a book titled Greater, Dream Bigger, Start Smaller, Ignite God's Vision for Your Life. And so for the first few minutes before we played that first part of the interview, I asked for calls. What's the audacious dream God has put in your heart? And I mean, we just had time to take two calls, and that fired me up like you cannot believe. So now we've got about 8-9 minutes to take calls again before we play the second part of the Stephen Furtick interview. And so I have one journal left. And I have two books left, two hardcover copies of Stephen's book, Greater, Dream Bigger, Start Smaller, Ignite God's Vision for Your Life. And as I said, I stopped at Lifeway Christian Store. We bought some journals, and I want to write just a note of encouragement to you on that one journal that's left. So like I said, 8 minutes left. Here's my question. What audacious and seemingly impossible thing would you love for God to accomplish through you? On your mark, get set, go. Give me a call, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. You only have about 8 minutes, as I said, for us to talk about this. I want to pray for you. It is so good for other people to hear you say, you know what? Like Dwayne, I'm preaching it this weekend, and I'm believing God for people to be set free. Dwayne, I'm going to be thinking about you and praying for you. So what about you? 877-933-2484. Let Grace know if you want the journal. We have one journal left, or a copy of Stephen's book. And everybody who gets on the air will get something, all right? But the first three will get the book or the journal. This is from Stephen's other book. It's called Sun Stand Still, and it will just rock your faith. This is what he says. Discovering God's vision for your life is one of the primary ways God teaches you about his character. Seizing his big purpose for your life is not just about figuring out what God wants from you and getting down to business. It's also about becoming intimately acquainted with who Jesus is. It's about mining the depths of who you are in him. And out of that revelation, you will fulfill the purpose that he put in you on earth to fulfill. Accomplishing the impossible is all about seeing the invisible. And that is so true. You know what? The dream God has for you is cultivated through intimacy with God. It's conceived in intimacy. And guess what? It's achieved through intimacy. So when you start to get this audacious dream in your heart, it comes from those places where you are much with God, where you're alone with him, and you first and foremost know, I'm his and he is mine. But you know what? It's achieved through intimacy, because you got to walk so closely with him, because there's giants in the land, an enemy who opposes you and hates the thought of you taking ground. You'll be opposed. It won't be easy. And that's why that intimate place with God is what sustains you, strengthens you, and reminds you of the vision. So we've got to call Bethel, and let's hear from you. Bethel, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, hon, how are you?
I'm That's a long story. It's not a very good day for me today. I lost my dad 3 weeks ago, and it hurts a lot.
I'm so sorry. And I need to tell you, we only have a few minutes. We've got a bunch of calls coming in. So how about if you tell me your big dream, all right?
Well, for one thing, you were talking about intimacy with Jesus, and I would like to ask how we can get better at intimacy with Jesus so that we can be a real good example to our loved ones.
That's a great question. Intimacy with God, to me, we should do a whole show on that, Tim. But really, it's spending regular time with Him. Just as you become intimate with somebody that you spend a lot of time with and you listen to what they have to say, you share what you want to say, you cultivate a relationship. So make a date with God every day. Listen, read His Word, tell Him your heart, pray. You'll hear from Him. Bible says, my people, my sheep know my voice, and listen to Him. I'm going to make sure that you get a journal. Bethel, I'm going to write a note to you, and may God give you the salvation of your loved ones. Bless you, hon. All right, we've got Mark calling from Center City. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie. Love listening to your show. I listen to you as I drive up here to the Hazleton Graduate School of Addiction Studies in Center City, Minnesota.
Wow, good for you.
And I'm getting a degree in counseling people with addictions, alcohol and drugs, because that's the Lord set me free from my addiction about 3 years ago, and now I'm trying to give it back by becoming a counselor and help other people.
Mark, I have a very precious friend in Hazleton right now, so that you're speaking to something very, very close to my heart. God bless you. So your audacious dream is to reach those who are bound in the addiction that you were in, right?
That's right. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, can I say a quick prayer for you?
I'd love it, Susie.
Father in heaven, I thank you for Mark. I thank you for his courage, Lord, not only to walk away from his addiction, but to reach back to those who need freedom like he has. And so I pray you'd surround him with your favor. You bless his efforts with great success. You'd open wide doors of opportunity, and you would do in and through him above and beyond all he could ever dare to ask or think, in Jesus' name. Bless you, bud. Thank you so much. Thanks for what you're doing.
Sure, Susie.
Mm-hmm. Bless you. All right, Leslie from Fargo. I think we have time for maybe a couple more calls. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, I am awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for calling. What's your audacious dream?
My audacious dream is to get the word out and prevention, raising awareness about child abuse in North Dakota. I am survivor and thriver, and I spend time with at-risk teenagers, and I'm really just seeking God's help in doing the right thing, planting the seed, and helping them become thrivers and survivors as well.
Leslie, I love that you say I'm a survivor and a thriver. You're a victor and an overcomer. Can I just say a quick prayer for you?
Please do.
Lord, thank you for Leslie. And here again is something that the enemy hates the thought of her preventing child abuse. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you come to give life. Would you give life through Leslie? Would you surround her with your protection, with your blessing? Would you connect her with the right people and grant her efforts great success? And Lord, again, we pray for every vulnerable soul in the world today. Protect them from the wicked. Confuse the plans of the enemy and establish the plans of your people like Leslie. Thank you for her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Leslie, for what you're doing. This, Tim, we got to do a whole show where we just take calls on people's audacious dreams, because you can see these are all things that are near to the heart of God.
They are, and they're not impossible.
No, they're not. Not with God.
That's right.
Yeah. In fact, I pray the people that called in see the impossible happen. They go, I just meant to do this, but God did this. That's what I want. We have to do a whole show on audacious dreams where we just hear from people. So we're going to hear this next clip now from Stephen Furtick, and I'll close in prayer once we're done. Thank you so much for your calls. I'm just so fired up. I hope you are too. You would make the analogy of burning the plow, and how someone may burn the plow and they go, I burnt the plow, and now what? So talk about, just make the application to the burning of how Elisha burnt the plow to take hold of the call and the implications of all of that.
Well, it's a metaphor for surrender. When Elisha was plowing in the field in 1 Kings 19, we don't see any evidence that he was looking for a job change or that he was living a bad life or that there's anything wrong with plowing a field. But God was calling Elisha into something greater. Now, the interesting thing about that is it doesn't say anything about what Elisha did for the next several years, except that when Elijah came to Elisha in 1 Kings 19 and he threw his mantle of ministry on him, that Elisha took off and followed him, that he went and followed Elijah. But before he went and followed Elijah, he did something that I think is so instructive for us. It says that he took the oxen that he was plowing with, he took the farming equipment, the plows that represented his livelihood, and he set it all on fire. And that seems irresponsible. That seems irrational. You know, there's a sense in which you go, couldn't he have sold it off? You know, contributed the money to Elijah's ministry. I'm sure it could have helped out on the road. But that's not what you do when God calls you to greater things. You don't just kind of walk away from your old ways of thinking, negativity. You don't just walk away from your selfish way of living your life. You strike a match to it. And I use that analogy because when I was a teenager, Susie, I gave my life to Christ at age 16, and it was pretty radical how God got a hold of my life. But my big thing was wanting to be a musician, a rock star. It's all I ever wanted. And I had this big tower of CDs. I had just under 100 CDs that I'd collected. You know, every dollar that I got from allowance or a job, you know, for years went to buy all these CDs. I felt like God was calling me to, I didn't hear a sermon about how it was the devil's music and how if I listened to that music, I was going to, you know, I was going to go up in flames. I just felt like it was a plow in my life. It represented my old ambitions. It represented the way that I thought before Christ. And I remember taking all those CDs in a garbage bag, dumping them out in a field as a 16-year-old. And I invited my friends, and I had kind of a plow burning ceremony where I set them on fire and literally burned them, not duplicated them, but...
And, you were radical then, Stephen. Way to go.
Well, I look back on that and I go, man, a lot of those CDs, I'd still like to have them today. That's pretty good music, you know. I don't think there was anything wrong with the music, and that's not the point of the story. Mm-hmm. It's will you do what God is calling you to do? And that's the hard part. What is God calling you to do? So somebody's listening going, that's really cute. You burned your CD. Should I leave my husband? Well, in that instance, burning the plow may not be leaving. Maybe staying. It may be saying, I'm committing to this marriage, even though it's hard. I'm letting go of the option of leaving so that God can do a greater work. That's possible. There's somebody else listening. You know, well, I'm going to burn my plow. I'm going to quit my job and start a business. Well, perhaps for you, it's not burning a plow and starting a business. Maybe it's burning a plow and offering yourself to God to make a difference right where you are. On the other hand, maybe somebody's going to hear this today and you're going to be ignited to do something brand new. Like God led me to start a church. I was only 25 years old. I had to sell my house and quit my job. And there were seven other incredible families who are still with me today. They've watched the church grow from seven families to now seven different locations and thousands of people meeting Christ. But if they hadn't sold their houses and quit their jobs and burned the plows, we may have never seen. In fact, I'll say we wouldn't have seen what God wanted to do so much greater than we can imagine. And the beauty of greater, you know, whether it's the book or the message or just believing this about God, whether it's in Elisha's life burning the plows, or you can look at New Testament examples like Peter who left his nets, followed Jesus. That decisive act of obedience to say, yes, Lord, whatever you call me to do, yes, Lord, that is the posture of believing God for greater things. And that's why we say it's not about drawing up the blueprints for your new house and your dream house. It's about burning your old house to the ground and saying, God, I'm ready for you to rebuild me, rebuild my heart, rebuild my ambitions, and I want to do it for you and go forward. And once you burn the plows, you know, Elisha saw the double portion of what Elijah had seen before him. And I'm sure that when he was done with his life and laid to rest, there weren't any regrets about the plows that he left behind. But it's hard in that moment. And so in the book, I try to come alongside the reader, ask some questions, prompt some things, involve the supernatural spirit of God. Show people what plows is God calling you to burn for the life that he wants to call you into.
So beautiful. Stephen, we only have a couple minutes left, but I just know even from my own life that, you know, when you God gives you the greater vision, when he says, I want to do above and beyond all you could ever dare to ask or think, you know, you have to go through some valleys to lay hold of it. There is radical obedience involved. There's even a cost at times where people are going to think you're crazy. So I want you just to say a few words about, you know, this is not for the faint of heart, what you're talking about. You just don't write out a dream and step into it. So talk about that in-between process that requires a little bit of gritty faith and a humble trust in the Lord.
Totally. And there are so many things that I want to say, but I need to make sure that I stay focused and give one idea, because I could tell you how to not give up when it seems tough, when you're following your dream, and how to keep the negative voices and the chatter that keeps you from, you know, going further into the things of God, how to keep that at a place in your life where it's not overwhelming your dreams. I could talk about all of those things, and they would all be valid, and we talk about those a lot in the book, so I hope people will get it and read it. But there's no substitute for what I'm about to say, and I want you to lean in and listen closely. If you have a big dream about what God is calling you to do, who he's calling you to be, and you know that you're meant for more, you find yourself settling for less, and you don't like living below the baseline of what Jesus saved you so that you could become, I want to say to you today that a big dream without a small start is nothing more than wishful thinking. Hmm. That's not faith. To sit around and say, God, one day when I have millions of dollars, I'll found a charity. God, if you give me an internationally famous rock band, I'll be like Bono. I'll help the poor. God, if you'll pack arenas full of women, I'll be like Beth Moore. Lord, I'll share your word. Whatever your thing is that you say, if I had, then I would, it needs to stop, and you need to say, God, do what you want to do with what I have.
Amen.
Here's my life. And it's a small start oftentimes in our life that generates and ignites and propels God's greater vision. There's somebody listening who, you know what, God doesn't want to speak to you about starting a school for underprivileged children in Africa today. I mean, that may be your big dream. But before you can really seize that big dream that God has for your life, it may be a small start about somebody that you haven't spoken to in 4 years in your family. And your small start may be writing a letter to them. There's somebody out there who doesn't have a prayer life. You don't read the Bible. It doesn't make sense to you. You don't know what to do. You know, listen to great programs like this, but you really don't know how to open the Bible for yourself. I would say start small. Open the Bible today, right now, before you go to bed tonight, and read one chapter out of the Gospel of John or Genesis chapter 1 or Psalm 1. It's a small start. I think, Susie, so many people stay stuck in a place of stagnation or frustration, not because they don't have a big dream. Man, I've had these moments about what I could be, but it's because I think outside the box about what I would do if I had something I don't have. Well, frankly, you don't have to change your situation in order for God to increase your passion. You could start right now. Greater things are not available to you one day when, but in you right now. And it starts with an attitude of surrender, maybe an act of obedience. But then let's start small. Let's take a small step toward the big dream God has put in your heart. See, we don't know God's will by sitting around and thinking about God's will. Reflection is important, but we know God's will by doing God's will. So I would encourage that person today, Susie, whatever the big dream that God has put in your heart may be, you may not be able to bring the dream to pass overnight. You can take a step today and then another and then another. And, you know, I often say, and I talk about in the book, how God doesn't do the details. If you've ever worked for a leader who says, I'm just going to do the big picture, I don't do the details, that can be frustrating. In his own way, God doesn't do the details. He told Abraham, go to the land that I'll show you, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Well, that's not much instruction. Go, and then I'll show you. I want you to show me, then I'll go.
Yeah, right.
Or it was even worse for Peter in the New Testament. All he got was one word, come. There was no sentence, you know, no water walking tutorial, no step-by-step, this is how it's going to feel when you get out there kind of reassurance. It was a word. And so if God's speaking a word to you right now, make sure that it's aligned with the scriptures. Make sure that God is really the one speaking. Involve some other people in your life. But know that even though God may not give you all the details, he's got them all covered. He knew exactly where he was taking Abraham to before he ever took his first step. He knew the plan he had for Peter. Even before Peter failed, he had a plan to restore him. God knows the details, and just because he doesn't show them to you fully doesn't mean that you can't obey him. You don't have to understand completely in order to obey fully. As we obey, we learn more and more about God's character in the process. And I would beg of you today, engage that process, pray the prayer, write the letter, take the step, show up to serve at the church, you know, have the conversation. And if you take that step, I believe God will get involved and take you further, maybe down some paths you didn't expect, maybe down a winding road that you can't anticipate, but he'll be your guide every step of the way. And if you stay behind him and believe that he's in you, greater things are possible.
Indeed. Well, we just have a second as we wrap up here. With a closing thought, talk about the importance of why Elisha prayed for his servant to see, the importance that we see the Calvary mounting on the hill on our behalf, that there many are more are those who are for us than those who are against us.
Yeah, there's a fantastic story toward the end of the book, and I titled the chapter Open My Eyes, and it's the story of how Elisha and one of his servants were trapped and the enemy was closing in. The servant was afraid. Elisha was a little bit older at this point, and he said something that must have seemed pretty ludicrous to the servant, because there's chariots all in the hills around Elisha and the servant coming in to take their life. And Elisha says to the servant, don't be afraid. There are more with us than those with them. And the servant must have wondered, and has this old prophet finally lost it? You know, he's finally gone delusional. The eyesight's starting to fail and he's confused. But something happened when Elisha prayed. He said, open his eyes that he may see. And when the servant looked up, he saw that God's protection was all around them. And I use it in the book to illustrate the fact that a lot of times we're praying for God to send us something. And that's the idea, isn't it, behind the world's way of greatness. God, send me more money. Give me more talent. I want to be more popular. I want to be thinner. And sometimes God says, it's not that I need to send you something. It's that I need to open your eyes to what I've already put in place. So in our context, we pray, God, forgive me of this sin. I need your forgiveness. Well, if you belong to Jesus, forgiveness has already been given in its fullest form on the cross. Our need isn't that we could twist God's arm. God, please forgive me for this. It's that our eyes would be open to see the reality of that forgiveness and then live in it and go forward and sin no more. But the prayer that I would pray for every listener, and I pray this for you, whether you're in your home today, whether you're traveling, whether you're right where you want to be with God and feeling pretty good, or whether you go, I'm so far away from this place that this guy's talking about, I'm never going to make it. I pray that God would open your eyes today to see that the hills are already full of protection, that God is surrounding you, there's a plan for you, there's a purpose. Nothing changed when Elisha prayed, open his eyes that he may see, except the perspective of the servant. It was there the whole time. Mm. And God wants to open your eyes today to the reality that he's given you everything you need to do what he's called you to do, and he'll walk with you step by step along this greater path.
Wow, Stephen, this is just a profound, prophetic, wonderful word. Thank you for your time. Talking to Stephen Furtick today about his excellent book, Greater, Dream Bigger, Start Smaller, Ignite God's Vision for Your Life. And Stephen, you gave us actually a few more minutes than you committed to, and I pray God will redeem your time. Thank you so much.
Susie, thank you. And we have a free chapter for all of your listeners today at greaterbook.com. Download it for free, and I pray that God will do a greater thing in your life today. Thanks for the chance to talk with you, Susie.
Absolutely. Lord bless your work.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Great interview with Stephen Furtick. So this is what he says. A big dream without a small start is nothing more than wishful thinking. And this is the takeaway, I pray, for you today. To dare to have an audacious dream. Dare to believe the absolute impossible can happen in and through you. And God wants that for you. but to be humble and teachable enough to start small. I remember when God first turned the light on and said, I'm calling you to encourage and strengthen others in their faith. I lined up my three little boys on the couch, and I talked with them. My first audience, I spoke at retreats for free, and sometimes they would give me a bottle of lotion. I remember speaking at a retreat center that had little mice climbing under my bed. I remember I had my first self-published book, Tim, and my journal, and that was all I had published at that point. And the people put my book table back in front of the bathroom door, way in obscurity, away from the main session. And I was the speaker of the retreat, and I'm standing behind my table, which is right in front of the door. And every time I thought someone was coming to the table, they were actually turning sideways to scoot by the table so they could use the bathroom. But you know what? I don't despise those days of small beginnings, because I learned teachability, humility. And he's like, will you talk to two people? Will you talk to 30 people? And the point is to strengthen and encourage the church. Will you go where I send you? And so we need to not be afraid to start small.
That's exactly right. And it is in those small beginnings that God begins to work. And he begins to work not only in your heart, but in the hearts of other people as well.
Yeah. It is so good for us to start small, to let him refine our character. You brought up a quote that Stephen has known for saying, if your dream doesn't intimidate you, it probably is an insult to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I challenge each and every one of you, get alone with God and say, dream big. Show me your dreams for me. Well, I'm going to leave you with this passage from Ephesians 6. Here it is. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all of heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. I ask him that with both feet firmly planted in love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its height, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or request or guess in your wildest dreams. And he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit, deeply and gently within us. I want to hear what you think of today's show. And I actually want to know what kind of shows would challenge and encourage you in your faith. You can email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Let me just say a quick prayer for you. And Tim, I would love for you to also pray just for that person listening today who's lived numb and they realize after hearing today, God has a plan for me. Since you have to do the transition, why don't you pray first and then I'll pray.
Loving Father, we do thank you for the way that you not only provide for us, but Father, that you give in each of our hearts. You birth that dream that you have for us and for our lives. And Lord, we just ask for our listeners today, Lord, that one person who is sitting there saying, I don't think I can do it. But Father, we know that through you, they can. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us to dream big. Mm. And Father, to depend on you for the results.
Yeah. Father, we agree. We just thank you for that friend listening today. You have a giant, great, audacious dream that you planned before they ever were born. And I pray that you would quicken their hearts of faith, that you'd stir in them the desire to be much with you, walk closely with you, and one step at a time obey you and trust you. And may the vision that you have come to full fruition in their lives, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your goodness and your grace that we get to partner with you. What an honor it is to be linked in fellowship. We love you, Lord. Amen. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Don't forget to check out my blog. It's titled Believe the Best, especially if you're someone who reads between the lines. Hopefully this will encourage you. It's at my website, susielarson.com. Tomorrow on Live the Promise, I'll talk with Rhett Smith about his book, The Anxious Christian. Can God Use Your Anxiety for Good? That's tomorrow on Live the Promise. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.